conch shell sounds like the sea when we put it to our ear, right? Well, at least that's what we've been told what to believe our whole lives. When we put a shell to our ear, it sounds like we get a replica of the ocean. Obviously, that's not true. Sure, you can tell a kid it's magic, but we all know magic doesn't exist, right? Right, guys? Some early speculations of this was that putting a shell up to your ear was like an introspective look into our own bodies, our heartbeat, the flowing of blood, organs working. It's just like our bodies are similar to the inner workings of the ocean, so in essence, that makes sense. Just us reflected back through the shell. That also is not true. It's all sound waves. Sound waves make their way into the shell and bounce around. It's called resonance. So what is that? So basically, it's the ambient sound that is in the room or wherever you happen to be, making its way into the small curved surface of the shell, bouncing around in there, and amplifying back into your ear. It's basically natural sound amplified. So let's put that to the test here. A similar experiment can be seen on a movie set. There will be a time when the audio department will scream out,
"All right, we're going to get 30 seconds room tone starting now."
All right, thank you. That's a cut on room tone.
That's a wrap, everyone.
So this way they can use that room tone to create a base layer of sound for the scene. So then they can add re-recorded audio of dialogue or music, narration, or whatever makes up the scene. Without it, you would just hear room tone that would be different from each other, and it would just sound really, really obnoxious. Something like this. I'm out in the park across the street, and this is room tone. Without room tone, it would sound like this. Room tone, everybody. Without room tone, if you were to cut it up, everything I say, edit it together, would sound weird if there was no room tone to tie it all together. So let's try that again. Room tone, everybody. Without room tone, if you were to cut it up, everything I say, edit it together, would sound weird if there was no room tone to tie it all together. It's a big difference, right? And this is basically what the shell is amplifying back into your ear. Its own shell tone, if you will. Shell, yeah. I am Dave Colonna. I like podcasts. I like room tone. Today's destination, New Jersey, and my encounter with the New Jersey Devil. The pandemic hit everyone hard. Everyone. There's no way around that. And the thirst for creativity became harder and harder to quench. Many artists I know found a way to do it through Zoom, or doing this or that around the house, or outside in the yard, or whatever little spark they found, safely. I found not being able to travel one of the biggest hits to my inspiration. Many can find inspiration in any little aspect of life. I really appreciate that. Exploration and travel was, and is, the main aspect of my inspiration. Always has been. Travel would give my mind the shot in the brain it needed to see things in a new way. And now I take the dog around the same block and see the same other dog owners for basically the entire pandemic. I still don't know the owners' names, but I do know the dogs' names. Chama, Oli, Goose. But anyway, I started going back through pictures at first and looking at many places I have been and researching all the places I still wanted to go in hopes that we one day eventually can travel again. In looking at pictures, I was quickly reminded of the breathtaking imagery, the smells, and more importantly to this series, the sounds of those places. Then I remembered I recorded some of those sounds. I honestly don't know why I did, but I guess I do now. I have gone back and listened to those sounds and realized maybe some others would like to hear these sounds, and maybe a story or two behind them. Well, let's start at the beginning. Sometime about 400,000 years ago, no, I wasn't kidding, let's start at the beginning. Humans learned to fully control fire. This breakthrough radically changed our diets because we can now cook food, and it transformed the way we saw the world and how we told those stories. Storytelling started around those campfires, stories of monsters and beasts and mythical lore. And are we much different and advanced than we were then? Look at the movies we're still making. They're basically the same ideas. One of my travels brought me to Aktun Tunichil Muknal, or Cave of the Crystal Sepulchre. I don't know if I'm pronouncing any of that right, but no, it's not an Indiana Jones movie. It's located in Belize. My trip started with meeting on the edge of a forest near San Ignacio, where our tour guides brought us on a mile hike through the jungle. I do remember having a conversation with a guy who was also on the journey. He had his wife and kid with him. They were a happy and well-put-together family. Something out of L.L. Bean, I recall. I may not get every bit of this correct, but I recall he and his mother had started a small company where they would recruit businesses in the area in San Francisco region and then get a list together. They would take that list and start faxing those jobs to people on their contact sheet who would also sign up. I would imagine they paid for the service,
but I'm not sure.
The list grew in both companies and job seekers. Well, must have grown quite a bit, because he went on to start Monster.com, still a giant company with over 4,000 employees. He was a nice guy
and a rich guy.
Sometimes you meet the most interesting people traveling. Never avoid conversations when traveling, and ask questions. It usually pays off with some interesting tales. Anyway, we make our way to the cave. First, we must jump into the pool, then swim under a rock, and on the other side, we would come out of the water into the actual cave. From there, it was a wet 3-mile hike through tight squeezes and other watery tunnels to get to the massive room where there were giant rock structures.
Stalactites, stalagmites,
ancient crystallized ceramics, and even a crystallized skeleton best known as the Crystal Maiden, the skeleton of an adolescent which they believed was a 17-year-old boy, possibly a sacrificial victim whose bones have been calcified to a sparkling, crystallized appearance. It was creepy and amazing. The cave was really impressive. But they definitely have limited the tours over the years. In late May 2012, a tourist accidentally dropped a camera and fractured a human skull, estimating to be over 1,000 years old. As a result, all cameras without a permit are now banned from the cave. The Mayans also modified cave formations here, in some instances to create altars for the offerings, in others to create silhouettes of faces and animals, or to project a shadow image into the cave. The cave is extensively decorated all the way up to the upper passages. At this point, the guide told us to turn off all headlamps. He lit a torch and it blazed high off his stick. The fire bounced on the cave wall and he started waving and signaling to look up at a particular spot on the ceiling of the cave. It looked like a giant mythical beast or a dinosaur. And as he waved it back and forth from side to side, the beast came alive. It even looked like it was bending down to eat whoever was at that altar. This was done by the Mayans, or so they told me. They carved the rocks to have the appearance of the beast, to help tell their stories. This was their prop, a primitive CGI, or a real-life warning to the children of monsters or mythical creatures, and to best keep away from the terrible sounds at night. That brings us to the Jersey Devil. One hot weekend in early July 2018.
So you probably did need the AC overnight, and you're definitely going to need it throughout the day. You do need the SPF in terms of just that heat intensity. We continue to shoot up into the 90s for today. So when you're waking up at 75, 80 degrees, you know it's only going to be bad from there on out.
Me and a few friends head out for a 40th birthday canoe camping trip.
Little did we know it would be...
Continue to stay hot into the afternoon, evening hours. That's when we'll really heat our peak temperatures.
Overwhelmingly hot, where all we can do is sit in a warm bath river and hope the sun goes down a little quicker. You may know the New Jersey Pine Barrens from a little show called The Sopranos.
Where the fuck you been?
We're down the Pine Barrens.
Did you wrap the package?
Not yet. We were about to. We had a little problem.
The name Pine Barrens refers to the area's sandy, acidic, nutrient-poor soil. The locals call it sugar sand. In 1978, Congress passed legislation to designate 1.1 million acres, approximately 22% of Jersey land, of the Pine Barrens as the Pinelands National Reserve to preserve its ecology. And a decade later, it was designated by the United Nations as an international biosphere reserve. Development in the Pinelands National Reserve is strictly controlled by an independent state or federal agency. So basically, it's huge and it's wild. There are a few rivers that traverse the area and lead out to the ocean. For years, me and my friends would get a few canoes and make our way down to the river to see the amazingly bizarre landscape of sand, pine trees, and trails that seemed to go on forever where you could walk barefoot for miles. Sometimes when the rivers swell, you can easily make your way down them. Other times, you would have to push off logs, get out and carry your canoe, or even just give up for the night and figure it out in the daylight. I tell a lot of people who like to camp to go check out the Pine Barrens. Most aren't familiar. Perhaps it's the jiggers, the flies that once ate me alive so bad, I look like I have the chicken pox. But there we were, the only idiots on the river that day because of the heat. We would break often and just sit in the river only to emerge to find our bathing suits dyed a deep red from the water. The nutrient-poor soil creates these rivers that look like blood that's flowing from one end to another. It's really bizarre. And if you do go, make sure you bring clothes that you really don't care about, because they will come out red. The first night we got there, we camped on the outer edge of a glamping location where we were close to our car and at the edge of a pond. That night, we couldn't do much more than have a mildly cold beer and listen to the frogs. The next day, we got our canoes and launched down the river. After a few hours of sweating on the canoe, we made it to base camp. It was brutal. About 4 to 5 hours of 98 degree heat and being eaten alive. That wasn't one of the most pleasant trips I've taken, but looking back, it's always worth it. And it was my friend's 40th. That only comes around once. Light grew dim as we watched the sun go down and hoped for a night chill. That didn't come. Nothing but more relentless heat. We couldn't even eat. We brought food. We even cooked it. But what's the point? It was too hot. So we just sat there laughing and hydrating best we could. And that is when it happened. The Jersey Devil. The Pine Barrens gave rise to the legend of the Jersey Devil, said to have been born in 1735 to a local woman named Mrs. Leeds in an area known as Leeds Point. Another story says that the mother gave birth to a hideous monster, attacked her and her nurses before flying up out of the chimney and disappearing into the barrens. Most alleged sightings of the legendary devil have occurred in or near the Pine Barrens. There's a lot of stories out there. They even sell shirts at the ranger stations with silhouettes of the Jersey Devil on it. Even little plush toys. There's even a hockey team named after it.
Your 2021 New Jersey Devils!
Monster stories around campfires. Everyone loves them. Well, that night, right as we were getting ready for bed, it happened.
This is gonna kind of be like either a problem or a really good bet.
That's my friend Ryan.
And it's his birthday, by the way.
And this audio was recorded about 20 minutes after the noise grew closer and closer.
It sounds like a cat.
Oh god, that'd be the worst, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like bobcat that just wanted to fuck us up.
Then began sounding off to our left, our right, behind us, in front of us. Due to the location of the Pine Barrens and the undeveloped land, it was dark as you can get. The heat didn't help either. We couldn't see more than our headlamps could shine, and when we heard it, we attempted to chase it. Behind us. No, over here. Over there. Every time our attention was turned towards it, we might get a reflective eye, but that was about it. We chased that devil for hours. Forgot about the heat. We were on a mission. We never found out what it was that night. And as dawn broke, we looked at the area. Nothing out of the ordinary, maybe some claw marks in the sand, and a few branches broken, but whatever it was gone. We made our way back to the ranger station with claims of a run-in with the New Jersey Devil. In fact, we played it for everyone we ran into on the way back, on the river, anyone we came in contact with. You ever hear something like this? No one had. Everyone convinced it was the Jersey Devil, and proud to have met someone with a story. We get to the ranger station and play it for him. He smiles from ear to ear, either convinced we had an encounter or that we were a bunch of idiots on a wild goose chase. I couldn't tell. The rangers down in the Pine Barrens have always been great. In fact, any camping trip I've always been on, I had a good encounter. Well, there was one time, but that's another story. The ranger pulls up his laptop, says, "Boys, I'm sure you saw the Jersey Devil. In fact, many have. But last night, it wasn't the devil you saw." Then he played this video clip. It was a red fox. Small, wiry-looking fox. Not the Jersey Devil. So for all of those people out there who ask,
"There's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?"
You can tell them that's what a fox sounds like. Because I know, now you know. See you next time.
I think this is gonna kind of be like either a problem or a really good play.
Music was by me, Ryan Hollings, Chris Haig, consulting by Andy Rath. Thank you to the Pine Barrens. Thank you to New Jersey. Thank you to Monster.com. Thank you to Belize. And now, this. New York City. Spring 2020.